Hey, Steve here from the Hodge Podcast. I just wanted to throw Unbearable, our other podcast, up on our feed this week so you can check it out if you're interested. It's a football podcast, again, Unbearable, the unofficial and unprofessional football talk podcast, where me and Kevin just go over every game each week. This week, obviously, we're up on week one, Bears losing to the Packers, which makes us sad. We also talk about the other games if you want to just check it out. We also talk fantasy football, a little bit of college, but not too much. But yeah, you can also find Unbearable at Unbearable Pod on Instagram and subscribe to the podcast on all platforms except SoundCloud. But yeah, check it out if you want. If you like, let us know if you like it or if you don't like it. Well, Kevin will go cry in a corner, so hopefully you like it. But yeah, enjoy. This week is brought to you by me inviting the Bears offense to my birthday party, but they didn't show up. Unbearable, the unofficial and unprofessional football talk podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me as always is the quarterback of my heart, Kevin Hodge.
I am dead inside.
The Bears are 0-1, and honestly, though, I feel like they're more than 0-1. I feel like they are 0-50. Because that was bad. Yeah. So, enough crying, bitches. So, yeah, we'll hop straight into that, and then we're going to talk about the rest of the league, obviously, and some fantasy football and confidence picks, and it'll be a whole lot of fun. So, yeah, first up is, obviously, the Bears started off this season with a dud at losing 10-3 to the Packers in the opening on Thursday. And, woof, the offense did not show. That was... let's do bad and then good.
The thing that was so bad about it was that it was easily like their worst offensive showing to date under Nagy. You know, like they had the Rams game where I think Mitch threw three picks, but that was also late in the year. The Rams were a really good team, all that shit. Going into week one, when you've got literally the whole offseason to like prepare for this moment, and then don't do fucking anything is just embarrassing. And so that is definitely why it's worse. Plus, with it being Thursday night, we had to stew in it all weekend. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, right now it's still the next week. We aren't to Sunday yet. So we're still stewing in it for an elongated period of time, which just sucks.
Yeah, and then, of course, the second they... I will say the Packers' drive for that touchdown, it was a good offensive drive. Like, I'm not going to take that away from them. But, of course, the second it happened, Collinsworth got up... Or I was going to say got up on his horse, but he got down on his knees, and it was a fucking, Rodgers is taking over the game! Rodgers! It's just like, dude, we get it. You like him. You think he's a great fucking quarterback. Like, but
well, he is a great quarterback.
Well, yeah, I
but
know,
he also not, didn't yeah. play particularly well that whole game.
Yeah, and then to get into the good of the game is the Bears' defense looked fucking great. Like is the one thing I'm very happy about from that game.
Absolutely. All the people in the offseason who were saying, you know, the Bears are going to regress. There's no way the defense is going to be the same. Granted, it's only week one, so we don't know what it's going to be like over a full 16-game season.
Yeah.
But so far, it looks like they're firing on all cylinders. Most of the time, if you only allow 10 points, you're probably going to win that game. So,
yeah,
they did a really good job. The only thing that they didn't do is force a turnover, but it's kind of like you shouldn't be banking on a turnover to get you a win or a tie. It's like, man, you've got to do something. And honestly, if you look back at the game, despite how terrible the Bears looked, they did have a couple drives where it looked like they were kind of moving, and then they shot themselves in a foot, in the foot either with penalty or they threw, you know, Mitch threw the pick in the end zone that was just a terribly thrown ball. They had a couple drives that looked like they might get it going, and then they would do something to shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, shooting yourself in the foot by having a first and 40. Like, what the fuck?
Because that was a drive that I want to say they had a decently long pass to, like, Gabriel Robinson or something like that.
It was to Gabriel, and then he had the push-off.
Yes. And so he you know, makes a big play. We're marching. And then three penalties in a row to push it out to first and 40. And that is just terrible. That's unforgivable.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, in the first quarter, when we were all excited that we might actually win the game, it was they held the Packers to negative 12 yards. All you have to do is show up to win that game, and the offense did not fucking show up.
Yeah, and to the credit of the Packers, it does look like a lot of the moves that they made in the offseason have certainly helped that defense. It was bad last year. They had a bad defense, so moving up in any direction is going to be, you know, obvious. But it really does look like they've assembled some pretty solid pieces, and that defense is going to be pretty good.
No, yeah, the Packers' defense definitely played better than I thought it was going to, but that was I still think, like, the Packers' offense played badly, but the Bears' defense played better, whereas I think the Packers' defense played all right, but the offense just played fucking awful. Like,
yeah, no, there were too many plays where you could see a guy that could have been open to catch a pass, or, you know, Mitch is just holding on to the ball that he could have thrown it away, that he takes a sack. Obviously, the pick in the end zone was the easiest pick Adrian Amos has ever had in his life, because he just lobbed it up there. There was so much bad play that, you know, I don't want to sound so much like a homer who hates the Packers and don't want to give them credit, but there was, you know, watching that game, there were so many terrible plays by the offense that it's kind of hard to really determine the line there. Like, okay, well, how bad was the offense? How good was the defense? Defense was good. It was making it hard to find open receivers. But at the same time, that offensive performance was absolutely abysmal. Yeah. And I think that that is just a fact. Regardless, I think if that offense tried to play against the Dolphins this week, they would only put up like fucking 12 points.
Yeah. No, yeah. It was not a good showing. The one good thing I saw from the offense, though, is David Montgomery's debut was pretty good. It wasn't amazing, but it was good.
Which brings me to the idea of what the hell are you doing not giving him the ball?
Yeah.
They had like 15 rush attempts and 50 pass attempts, and it's like, okay, so we got this running back who early in the game showed an ability to get tough yards. You know, the one run that he had where he got a first down and he was like getting tackled and he was spinning off people and then he dove to get the first down. I was like, okay, so you got a guy who's fighting for tough yards here. And then they have third and short situations. They give it to Cordarrelle Patterson for a fucking dive. And it, like, a A-gap dive. Like, what are we doing? It just seemed like, I don't know if it's, and granted, this is kind of the only things that I've ever been able to find that are a downside to Nagy as a coach. But there are times where it seems like he tries to out-trick and out-do and out-scheme so much that the obvious play gets ignored. Like, third and inches, okay, give it to your rookie running back who's shown the ability to evade contact, bounce off of contact, and get tough yards. Don't give it to your 6'4 wide receiver who kind of plays running back but also kind of sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just, yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if it's like, not obviously consciously, he wasn't thinking like, well, the Packers aren't good, so we can beat them. But I feel like subconsciously,
there was an overconfidence.
Yeah, I feel like he was just like, we should be able to win this game, so let's try doing these tricks just to fuck with them. And they didn't work, and the Packers fucking came out to win.
And for sure, like, you know, if you zoom out and look at it, just, you know, if you try to think of it as not a fan of either team, but you think about how many times does a team who is, you know, is either really good or had a really good prior year where we're right at the beginning of a game, they get punched in the mouth and they're just kind of like, the whole rest of the game, they're just kind of like fucked up. That's exactly what it felt like to me, where it wasn't even as much like, oh my God, this team has regressed, they're terrible. It just really seemed like there was so much expectation and so much built around this game, and it's the first game of the whole season, everybody's watching, that as soon as they had a bit of a struggle early on and the tempo was kind of set that the Packers weren't going to just roll over and die, it was they were kind of like, oh shit, we're going to actually have to do this thing. Mm-hmm. And that's where it was like, okay, I don't know what they did, but there definitely seems like, even if they weren't consciously thinking about it, like you said, there's some level of overconfidence that went into that, that as soon as things didn't go, you know, didn't go the way he wanted, Nagy was just like, all right, we're just slinging the rock constantly, and Mitch was not having a good day. There was no reason in a one-score game to keep throwing the ball. There was just no reason.
Yeah, they were down by one score the entire game. Like, that's, you don't have to force the ball. Yeah.
Run the ball. Get some fucking momentum going. Granted, like we said before, they would shoot themselves in the foot with penalties, among other things. So it's not like, I mean, there was just a lot of bad there, for sure.
Yeah.
However, going into next week, there are a lot of people who are like, well, Vic Fangio knows everything about the Bears and the Bears offense.
Yeah.
So there's no way the Bears are going to go into Denver and get a win. And I'm like, I watched part of that Monday night game where the fucking where they were playing against the Raiders, and that did not look like a, you know, stout defensive unit, and you know, everyone's, you know, firing on all cylinders, and thank God we've got, you know, all this experience. What it looked like to me was a dude who is really good at scheming defensively, but doesn't really have a grasp on how to be a head coach. Not to like totally shit on him. I love Vic. I think he's an incredible coach.
Yeah.
But watching that Raiders Broncos game, you're going to tell me after that that you're like, oh yeah, no, Bears have no chance. I agree. Playing against your former defensive coordinator is not an enviable situation because he literally did nothing but play against your offense all last year.
Yeah.
But this is the NFL. If you can't figure out ways to like change some shit up and disguise some stuff in a way that the guy has never seen before, you shouldn't even be at that level.
Exactly. Yeah. So definitely, that was definitely a big little shot to the ego, where our predictions of them going 12-4, whatever, it's a little shaken now. But if the offense can
It's fine. They just got to beat the Packers away at the end of the year. I think I was going to have them swap those anyway.
And also, people need to, I mean, not that anyone's yelling otherwise at me, but people need to remember that the Bears lost game one against the Packers last year, too, and they went 12-4. So,
yeah,
it's nothing.
They looked a little bit better offensively, though. So when they blew the lead, we're like, oh, all right.
But the Packers also looked better offensively, and the Bears defense kind of settled down. Whereas this game, they stayed on top of it.
I don't know if you want to make any other points about the Bears, but I think that's a really nice segue into talking about some of these other games. Because hilariously enough, you know, talking about the difference in the offensive output for the Packers from last year compared to this year. So Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Packers, was the former offensive coordinator for the Titans. The Titans, who had a not very good offense all of last year, Matt LaFleur leaves the Titans to become the head coach of the Packers. What do the Titans do in week one against the Browns, who everyone thought the Browns were going to be good? Just hung 43 points on them. So, obviously you can't just say one for one, like, oh, yeah, they got rid of LaFleur, they became great at offense. But at the same time, like, okay, so this is the offensive genius that was going to fix Rodgers and the Packers' offense. He leaves the Titans, and then they go off. They absolutely go off.
Yeah. Before we get into the other games, quickly, we could talk fantasy last week. Obviously, we don't have to go into too much detail about it, but I figured each week we could talk about our record. So you're 1-0, I'm 0-1. We did not play each other, but you handedly won.
Oh yeah, no. So I was thinking about I lost in my other league.
You won
unfortunately.
You won 137.7 to 113.6. So you won by 24 points.
Thank you, Mr. Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. I lost 147 to 150 because that fucking Josh Jacobs went off during that.
Josh Jacobs killed me in my other league. I only lost by 3 points in my other league. Same thing. I had DeAndre Hopkins in the other league. He and Raj had Josh Jacobs, and just the slightest bit of pointage in the very end. I thought I had it, but then Josh Jacobs fucking went hot. I think he's going to be a hell of a running back, to be completely honest. That's brutal.
I mean, I would have had it if I'd played Sammy Watkins, who scored 42 fucking points this week.
Yeah, and that's another thing. You just never know. Like, Tyreek Hill, who I have and is now hurt, which sucks, he gets hurt, and then Sammy Watkins just goes ahead and gets three touchdowns. It's like, oh, yeah.
And then,
all right.
And then Tevin Coleman goes down for, I think they said, like 6 weeks or something. So there goes one of my running backs. So
yep.
Happy
week
one.
That's what you get.
But yes.
And fantasy is, again, a crapshoot.
So together we are 1-1, and I figure we could see what our records are together in, by the end of the season. So we're 1-1.
Absolutely.
You're 1-0, oh, I'm 0-1, so... I'm all about losing going. This week. Speaking of losing, let's get into my confidence from week one.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, and then we'll talk about whether or not we think these are, you know, going to be trends going forward, or if it's just a fluke.
Yeah, so I figure we could go... Do we want to go same with last
I've
week
got
of least to most confident or most to least again?
Yeah.
Least to most?
I would go... Actually... If we're doing retrospect, let's start with most confident, because
okay.
It'd be really hilarious to start with something that you totally blew. And I do have I've got a list of the games and the results, so I can kind of like look.
So the team I was most confident in, obviously, was the Chicago Bears. They lost. We went over that. We don't have to go over it again.
Brutal.
But but one thing we can definitely talk about with the trend thing is how people just suddenly speak so hyperbolically when they talk about the games, where it's like, the Packers are Super Bowl bound and are the Bears a choke artist? And it's just like, oh, go
Yeah, I think
yourself.
I saw something that most of the teams that went that made the playoffs last year lost week one. Or not. If it wasn't most, there was definitely a lot of them. I mean, I know that the Saints blew it week one and the Bears blew it week one, and they were really good.
Well, the Saints won.
I know, but last year the Saints lost week one.
Yeah.
They looked like absolute dog shit to the Bucs, and everyone thought that they were done, and then they just rattled off 13 wins.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so most confident was the Bears. They lost. Next up is I had 17 points on Chiefs over the Jaguars. That won. Obviously, the Chiefs are fantastic.
I think that's a trend. The Chiefs are just going to be good again.
Yeah,
I don't see any reason why they wouldn't.
I don't know. I don't think Mahomes is going to beat his touchdown record, but, I mean, he could, actually. Who am I fucking kidding? Now that they have Sammy Watkins.
You never know.
And, yeah, they are a very, very, very good team. So that one was a easy pick for me. Next up is 16. I had the Saints over the Texans. They barely squeaked that win out. They had a win with a last-second field goal, which was crazy.
I thought that sucked because of the fact that, like, the Texans looked so good, and then they came down and drove.
Offensively, they looked so good.
I know. Well, so, and they were winning, like, most of the game, and then as the Saints start to come back, the Texans have the ball to drive down to try to win it. They drive down, they score, but they score too fast, give Breeze the ball, he moved just far enough, they boot a long field goal. That sucks to watch, because all I think about is all the times I've seen people play against, like, the Packers or the Patriots, and you feel so excited, and then it's just, wow. But, tremendously entertaining. Love that game.
Great game, yeah. I still remember every fucking time it happens with the Packers or Patriots, it goes, 2 minutes is a lifetime for this quarterback. It's like, yeah, we get it. So Saints 1-0. Yep. Next, I have at 15 points, I had the Browns over the Titans. As we said, blowout. Baker is my backup quarterback, and I'm glad he is my backup, because I would not have wanted to play him this week. 3 interceptions or whatever it was, just like...
Yeah, I think I think the Browns are still going to be pretty good this
year.
Oh,
yeah.
As long as they don't implode mentally.
Yeah.
They've got Odell, they've got Jarvis, they've got some guys that could be, you know, prone to not necessarily giving up, but maybe... just, I don't know, causing problems and shit. So as long as they don't lose their shit mentally, I still think the Browns are going to be good this year.
Yeah, exactly. Next, I had with 14 points, I had the Ravens over the Dolphins. They whooped them.
I think the Ravens are a good team. They got a good defense. I think Lamar Jackson is progressing. But this game reminds me very much of last year when Trubisky hung 6 touchdowns on the Bucs, and it's like, okay, that was awesome, and I loved it, and it's like, you can't take anything away from that. However, you can't just be like, oh, shit, Lamar Jackson's the new Patrick Mahomes. I think overreaction city on the Ravens.
I do too, but I do kind of like that he kind of proved the haters wrong, where they always said he was just a rushing quarterback, and then he does go and sling up some touchdowns like that. I think it's a nice statement game.
Oh, it's super awesome.
It's a statement game, but at the same time, yes, it definitely is an overreaction. He's not the greatest. He doesn't have the greatest arm in the NFL. And
I think the Dolphins, like, you look at all the shit that's been going around with them, you know, apparently after the blowout, you know, there were people on the team calling their agents, telling their agent to try to get him fucking traded out of there. So it seems very much like that is not a team that's going to hang tough throughout a game. So as soon as it gets shitty, it's just going to become a blowout. So this is for sure just, you know, everyone's overreacting. People are saying, okay, Dolphins are going to go 0-16. They could. Fuck if I know. Yeah. But, like, I don't think the Dolphins are going to be, you know, giving up 50 points every week. I think they're going to have a little bit of a showing here and there. Like, let's just take a seat.
Yeah, that's always the problem with a week one blowout, is that it's suddenly like, oh my god, this team's amazing. It's like, guys, blowouts happen every once in a while. Like you said, the Bears blew out the Bucks last year. Yes, they were a great team, but they weren't a blowout every game out team.
Yes, like, Mitch Trubisky is not a 6-touchdown in a game guy.
Yeah, Fitzmagic did that. Fucking Fitzmagic threw like 15 touchdowns in the first 3 games last year. Like,
that was amazing. I love it when shit like that happens, because it really makes you question everything. Like, was I completely wrong about this guy forever? Is he actually pretty good? And then it goes right back down. You're like, aha, I knew it.
Granted, the game that Magic ended was against the Bears, so
yes.
But yeah. Anyway, definitely overreaction with the Ravens on being, like, the next great thing. But next, I had 13 on the Cardinals over the Lions. They tied, so I didn't get any points. That was
That game was so dumb. The Lions fucking the absolute shit out of that.
Yeah.
Because they were dominating. Kyler Murray looked like he was, you know, running around with a chicken, like a chicken with his head cut off. Looked terrible. I don't really know what to make of it, except for the fact that I still think both teams are going to be kind of shitty, except for the tight end for the Lions, TJ Hockenson from Iowa. That dude's really good, and I think he's going to be really good.
That's good, yeah. Yeah, I thought the game was pretty entertaining, other than it ending in a tie. Like, it was a pretty good back-and-forth game.
It was super entertaining. It just was like, I don't think either of these teams are really that good. I think they're just being bad against each other.
Yeah. Next, I had 12 points on the Broncos over the Raiders. Broncos obviously lost to the Raiders because that Josh Jacobs went beast mode.
And Derek Carr, I think, only had 4 incompletions.
Oh,
like, he was
really
fucking slinging it. They looked so good, which was like, okay, fuck, I don't even know what to think about this now.
I still
don't think the Raiders are going to be very good, but fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, I went to sleep at like halftime during that game, so I didn't watch the whole thing. So I just saw that I lost my fantasy game the next day.
Yeah, no, I didn't watch the whole thing either. But I saw Gruden joking about how he's like, "Yeah, we're gonna have to look at the film for those 4 incompletions."
There you go. Next up, I had 11 points on the Steelers over the Patriots. That was a terrible choice because the Patriots whooped the Steelers. That was
bad. They absolutely shit in their mouth.
Yeah, that was a bad, bad, bad game by the Steelers. I think it's still the overreaction of the Patriots are way better than they were, and then the Steelers are way worse than they were. I think the Steelers are still an okay team, but the Patriots, I mean, the Patriots also now fucking AB, which we didn't talk about, but
AB then also immediately after he signs the fucking contract gets accused of rape, so now we're like, I don't even know if he's gonna play.
Oh, I didn't see that.
But you didn't see that? His former trainer named him in a lawsuit. That was the big news today.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I didn't have any internet shit open at work today, really, so I didn't
see
that.
No, it's nothing makes sense anymore. But as long as the AB stuff doesn't derail the Patriots, I think I am officially on the, oh my God, they might not lose a game this year mindset for the Patriots, because they looked too good. They looked so fucking Brady looked fucking prime Brady, absolutely no ageness whatsoever. They got Josh Gordon, who everyone forgets about how Josh Gordon was an absolute monster before he had all the
weed shit.
Had all the issue, exactly, had all those issues, but like he was an absolute monster. So they've got him. If they get AB to play, that's the best wide receiver duo in the NFL.
And then Julian Edelman on top of it. Like,
and he's like the perfect slot guy that gets the hard yards, gets open, always keeps the chains moving. They got James White, who's a very solid running back, especially coming out of the backfield. And Bill Belichick is arguably the best defensive mind in all of football. They might not lose a fucking game. I don't know if that's overreaction like crazy, but fuck.
That
they dismantled the Steelers, I would not be surprised if they lose 1 to 2 games this year.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's like how we said the Bears have the talent to go 16-0. The Patriots have the talent to go 16-0. It's just any given Sunday, it doesn't happen, really.
True, except for the fact that the Patriots have gone 16-0.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm just saying, they have as much chance of losing as every other team in the league. So, but yeah, no, they are.
I don't think that's accurate.
What are you talking about? Them and the Jaguars, same team.
No, I was just going to. I was actually thinking about the fact that I think that they play the Dolphins next week.
Let's see. They play. Yeah, they play the Dolphins next week.
So I want to say, because I swear to God, I saw the spread on that is like 18.5 or some shit,
Jesus
like, or maybe even 20-something, and it's a college spread. It is a college spread in the NFL. It makes no sense.
But remember,
and I might even bet them to cover, because fuck.
But remember, the Dolphins won on that last play of the game or whatever last year, and that's the best play
ever.
The
Dolphins do play the Patriots tough.
They usually
this team, though, is so bad.
Yeah. They usually split the series, which is crazy, but yeah.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. They're like responsible for their only losses. But
no, yeah, the Patriots are definitely going to be a challenge. Like, the Bears play them this year, too, again, don't they? Hopefully they can get revenge on last year.
I don't know if they do play them again this year.
I'm pretty sure the Bears play every good team this year. They play the Rams, they play the Saints, they play the Chargers, they play the Patriots.
So I don't think they play the Patriots this year, because I think they play the Chiefs instead, and that was kind of the swap.
Let me see. Bears schedule.
I mean, we're playing some division. Whatever division the Chiefs are in, we're playing all of them.
Yeah. So the out of division games we have are that's preseason. I got Broncos, Redskins, Raiders, Saints, Chargers, Eagles, Rams, Giants, Cowboys, Chiefs. Yeah. Oh, so we don't play the Patriots again. I thought we did for some reason.
Nailed it.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, the Patriots are going to be a tough team this year.
Yeah, no, they're going to be a wagon, and the whole year is going to come down to whether or not the Chiefs beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah, which hopefully they fucking do. They should have last year.
Yeah.
But next up, I had 10 points. I had the Falcons over the Vikings. The Vikings put the stomp on the Falcons in that game, too.
I think the Vikings are going to be pretty good. I don't think it's what they did to destroy the Falcons is not sustainable, because Kirk Cousins only threw the ball like 10 times because he didn't have to. And that's what the Bears did against the Bills last year, where they just absolutely shit on him and he didn't have to throw the ball and it was good. Yeah. So I think there's going to be some games where Kirk has to throw the ball and it's going to not work out so good. But I think that defense is hungry, and I think Dalvin Cook's a hell of a running back, and I think they're going to be pretty solid. If the Bears don't get their shit together, the Vikings are winning the North.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. Yeah, I was going to say, I still have faith in the Bears, but it's not going to be the Packers-Vikings fighting for one. I think it's going to be Bears-Vikings fighting for number one. But yeah,
I agree.
They looked really good that game. Next, I had at 9, I had the Rams over the Panthers. They won. I didn't watch that game. I don't know what the score was. I think
they only won by 3, 30-27. Okay. I don't remember watching much of it beyond random red zonage, flipping around. But I think my fears about Todd Gurley are coming true, where he doesn't. He doesn't look healthy. He doesn't look like he's himself anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because he's still rehabbing. I mean, a knee injury for a running back, especially like him, that's tough. They didn't give him a lot of reps. He was not in there a whole lot, so there's a bit of load management. I don't know. I think the team's really super talented, obviously, but I don't think that they are the same as last year. I think, honestly, I think the Rams are a 10-11 win team this year instead of a 13 win team.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have the same spark as last year. That was an anomaly for them. Next up, I have 8 points. I had the Chargers over the Colts. That one was actually a closer game than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that one was. So I had a beautiful three-team parlay that I bet this weekend that hit, and it was really exciting because the games got really fucking close. I had Chargers money line, Seahawks money line, and Cowboys money line, which money line just means to win the game outright. Yeah. And so Chargers won, and it was fucking close, and then the Seahawks won only by one, and it was really close. They looked like they were going to get beat. The Cowboys absolutely shit on the Giants, though, so that was not even close.
Yeah. Speaking of which, number 7, I had the Seahawks over the Bengals. Yeah, that was a pretty tight game. I was surprised about that.
Yeah.
But yet people are still talking about how the Seahawks are going to be one of the best teams in the league. I was just like, really, that's confidence for a team that barely beat the Bengals.
Yeah, no, I think they still have a lot of good things. I think Chris Carson, the running back, is going to be pretty solid this year. Obviously, Russell Wilson is a good quarterback. He always is leading the league in fucking QBR shit. So he's just not making mistakes, at least. But honestly, I think I might have been wrong on how bad I thought the Bengals are going to be. I think the fact that they got – so, like, the Bengals are a weird fucking anomaly because they had Marvin Lewis as the head coach for, like, 15 years, and they were so shitty the whole time that it was like, how do you still have the same coach? They finally got rid of him in the offseason. They've got a new guy. I don't even know what his name is, but they got a new guy coaching, and they finally started, like, throwing the ball to, like, receivers who are fast and, like, trying to do offense.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't think the Bengals are going to be a fucking, you know, playoff team, but they kind of look feisty.
Maybe a 7-9 team or so.
Yeah. I thought going into this year that it was like, oh, they finally got rid of Marvin Lewis, but the stank is everywhere. They're only going to win, like, 3-4 games. No, I think, like you said, they might be right around that 500 if they steal one.
Yeah. Next at 6 points, I had the Niners over the Bucks. That's another one I didn't really watch.
Terrible.
Yeah, the Bucks are bad, but I can't remember what was the score on that one.
It was 31-17. Jameis threw, I think he set some record, or it was like he was the first. He was the first quarterback to open a year by throwing 2 pick sixes.
Jesus Christ!
So it's. I still don't know how I feel about the Niners because I saw Jimmy G throw a really shitty pick too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the Bucks are just. I think the Bucks are brutal, and I think it's because of Jameis. I still like Bruce Arians as a coach, but oof, Jameis.
I think that was just two turds battling their way down the drain as the toilet flushed.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely.
Next is at 5 points. I had this Redskins over the Eagles out of pure spite, but obviously the Eagles won. So
yeah, that was actually interesting for a while, and for those who are betting people, the Redskins managed a backdoor cover and it ruined a lot of people's bets, which is hilarious. I didn't bet it, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah. I think the Eagles are going to be a decent team again. I don't think they're Super Bowl caliber, but I do think they're a good team.
I don't know. I still think Wentz is a hell of a quarterback. If he can stay healthy, I don't know what they could do. I don't know. I think they're pretty good, though.
Yeah. At 4 points, I had the Cowboys over the Giants. They whooped them, so I guess I could have had a little more faith. Because, I don't know, it's just the Cowboys choke away games sometimes, and so I didn't have too much faith in them. But they
into week one, you didn't know how the contract holdouts and all that shit was going to affect anything.
Yeah.
And then they come out and absolutely shit on the Giants. However, I have said, and I still believe, that the Giants are absolute hot garbage. So
yeah.
I think that Cowboys are still a good team. I think they'll be in contention to win their division. But I don't think that they are, you know, the same as the Patriots, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. At three points, I had the Jets over the Bills. The Bills pulled it out.
So, yeah, that was hilarious because the Jets absolutely blew it.
Yeah. in the true Jets fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't have anything out of that. That's another two turds in a punch bowl. At 2 points, I had Texas over LSU. Apparently LSU won. I didn't watch it, so I don't know.
Yeah, LSU is pretty good.
And then I had 1 point over USC over Stanford, and USC won. So, hooray.
There you go.
So, moving on to confidence, we're going to talk week two. Getting ready for this, getting excited for some Bears football on Sunday, hopefully. So starting off with this one, I go from lowest to highest for this one. At 1 point, I actually rated the college ones higher this week, but at 1 point, I have the Saints over the Rams.
My brain tells me there's no way the Saints allow themselves to lose to the Rams in this revenge game because this is like the revengiest revenge game of all time.
Yeah, because that was the worst no call in NFL history.
I just can't see them losing it, but that's precisely why they will lose.
So that's literally why I put it at one, because they're two good teams, and I feel like the Saints have the bigger chip on their shoulder, but it's, you never know.
Like, do they psych themselves out so much by just being so angry about how much they got screwed? Or will that just be the fan base, which will definitely be very pissed the entire time?
Well, I have Breeze and Thomas on my fantasy team, so hopefully they just throw seven touchdowns to each other.
I played against Michael Thomas this week. It was not great.
I love having him on my team. I have him and their tight end Cook. I got him as well.
Old man Cook. Yeah. Still in the league after all these years.
Yeah, that was just a late round pick that I had to take. But next, I had at 2 points, I got the Titans over the Colts. I thought the Titans looked pretty good. The Colts looked all right, but I thought the Titans looked a little better. So I figured 2 points on the Titans isn't much of a loss.
Lose. I still don't know how to feel about the Colts because they had a hell of a showing against the Chargers last week. So it was like, okay, you know, they lost Andrew Luck in a really weird situation. So, you know, there's distractions all over the place. They could have played really shitty and no one would have blamed them. But they played well. They brought it on
Jabroni
down the
played
line.
All right.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what to think, except for the fact that I don't think the Titans will be hanging 40 on them because ridiculous.
I feel like this is going to be a close one. And I just think the Titans will squeak it out, but I wouldn't be surprised if I lose 2 points to the Colts. I won't be surprised.
You never know.
At 3 points, I got the Cowboys over the Redskins. I thought the Cowboys looked really good. The Skins looked all right, but I think the Cowboys are better. And low confidence, Cowboys over Skins.
I would put them really high, honestly.
Yeah, but I already wrote it down, so this is where we're going.
oh, God.
And also, when I fill it out, I start at, like, the highest number and then just count down. And sometimes I just miss one, and I'm like, fuck, well, now you only get 2 points because I forgot you. So sometimes that's what happens. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's also why they're at three rather than, like, at least seven or eight or something. But, yeah, so yeah. Cowboys over Skins at three. 4 points I got on the Panthers over the Bucks. I could have probably put this one higher. Panthers are probably going to whoop them. But we'll see.
I would imagine, but you never know.
Yeah, never know. 5 points. I should probably change this one. Too late. It's already written down. 5 points, I have Steelers over Seahawks. I thought of it purely because the Steelers, obviously, they did not show up last week, but I feel like that they won't let that happen 2 weeks in a row. I feel like this will be kind of they coming out angry and hot, so I could see them whooping on the Seahawks, but I could also see the Seahawks taking it.
I think the Steelers a lot of times play really shitty against the Patriots, that's not too surprising. I think they're for sure a team, you know, if they're gonna be good this year like we think, this has got bounce back game written all over it. So it could be close. They might not they might not still get the win, but I think they're gonna put up a way better showing.
Yeah. At 6 points, where are you? I got the Giants over the Bills because it's just two turds. I don't really.
I probably would go Bills, but then again, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Saquon will have a 300-yard game.
Football in New York is mad. Except for if your name is Saquon Barkley, then you are extremely good at football. Everyone else, bad.
Yeah. 7 points. I got the Browns over the Jets. I think the Browns are going to come back. I think the Jets are bad.
Yeah, I've been saying during the preseason and last week that I thought the Jets are going to be pretty good this year. I still kind of feel that way because they were looking. I mean, they didn't score that many points, so you know that's not good. But like they were, I felt like they were in control of a lot of the game last week and then just blew it. So I don't know how I feel about them. But you know, betting against the Jets is probably not a bad idea.
Yeah. Speaking of things, number 8, I have the Eagles over the Falcons. That's another one that's probably going to be pretty close. The Falcons' offense is pretty good. The Eagles are
pretty
good,
too. See, the Falcons are that team that I always believe in because of the star power and, like, you know, Julio Jones, and they were in the Super Bowl that one year, and they were
Ridley
dominant,
and
then they blew it. But I don't know. I kind of just feel like the Falcons might just be bad this year.
it's possible. Hey, as long as Calvin Ridley gets me points, I don't care.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley's good. I like him.
Yeah. At 9 points, I have the Texans over the Jaguars. I think they're going to come back swinging after that Saints loss and the Jaguars.
Yeah, because they did play really well. They just didn't. Honestly, if they just didn't score as fast as they did, they win that game. They had the ball with less than a minute left and went down and scored in like 2 plays. If they just move slower, they win that game.
Yeah, it was literally
outright.
2 long passes in a row.
Yeah, so they shouldn't feel too terrible. And then granted, like, and then the kick that he kicked, it was a 57-yarder, wasn't it?
57 or 58 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long field goal. So it's not like they let Breeze absolutely drive down the field. They only let him get close enough to where it's like, okay, we can actually attempt this.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think the Texans are going to be fucking pissed, and they're going to want to absolutely take it out. And I'm really hoping so, because DeAndre Hopkins is my dude.
Yeah. At 10 points, I got the Ravens over the Cardinals. I think that's a pretty safe one.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are not good. As we've discussed.
Yeah, I don't believe in that. I still don't believe in them at all. Everyone was talking about, like, well, did you see Kyler Murray in the fourth quarter? It's like, did you see him in the first three?
I mean, I always got a soft spot for Larry Fitz, so I always hope they do well because I love Larry Fitz, but yeah, they're not a good team.
He just needs to retire so that we can be really proud of his entire career and not feel bad for him for being on the Cardinals still.
Yeah, and then see and then see him put that gold coat on in 5 years.
Dude, he's amazing.
Yeah. At 11 points, I got the Vikings over the Packers. Packers looked like crap last week, as we talked about, and the Vikings looked really good. I think the Vikings will stomp them.
Yeah.
Or else it'll be a close win.
I'll put it this way. I think they should. However, this is classic trap game because of the fact that Kirk Cousins is so due to blow it completely that if things get interesting in this game, he will throw a couple back-breaking picks, for sure.
Yeah.
So what they need to do is they need to have the exact same recipe as they did last week, where you just run the ball down their throat, have a great defensive showing, and get a lead and don't even have them do anything. So it'll just depend. But, yeah, I think the Vikings are better. They should win. We'll just see. Yeah.
And this is the wonderful – the start of the Packers being at home for every week for, like, the next 8 weeks.
Yeah, no, they'll be home forever.
They're away at Lambeau. With 12 points, I got Iowa over Iowa State. It's one of the college games we have. Iowa's looking pretty goddamn good, and Iowa State is
– Yeah, Iowa's got some dudes who are going to get drafted high. Like, they got some defensive guys who are fucking good. And then they've got they always have good tight ends. I think the quarterback's pretty solid. I think the Big 12 defense blows, and so I don't think Iowa State's going to be able to hang with them.
Yeah. Next, at 13 points, this one actually could be closer. I should put this one lower. The Niners over the Bengals.
Yeah, that could be really interesting. This could be – that could be the I don't want to steal the bit from Pardon My Take, but the loser leaves town where we find out whether or not they both suck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'll be a close one probably. Or it'll be a blowout. Who knows?
No idea.
Next, at 14 points, I got the Chargers over the Lions. I feel like the Lions are going to lion, and the Chargers are pretty damn good, so.
Yeah, Chargers didn't look too great last week, but we saw the Lions absolutely blow it to rookie quarterback Kyler Murray. So there are questions.
Yeah, exactly. 15 points. Obviously, the Patriots over the Dolphins. That one should be a blowout. We'll see.
That should be your top one, but I know what your top one is. Well, we all do, because you're talking about them right now, and there's a certain team from a certain Midwestern town that has not been brought up yet.
Yeah, the Packers. Number at 16 points, I got the Chiefs over the Raiders. I think that's a – I mean, that one might actually be closer than I thought because the
– Yeah, no, I think
– Raiders looked all right.
Yeah, no, I think the lock of the century is the Patriots will win this weekend, which yeah. would be hilarious if they lose, and it would make me so happy, and I won't even care that I'm wrong. But, yeah, I mean, lock of the goddamn century, yeah. Patriots over Dolphins.
Yeah, I just figured because the Chiefs are such a dominant offense that they'd be a higher pick that would probably win. But, yeah, obviously the fucking Patriots are going to Patriot. At 17 points, I got the two college games before we get to the final NFL one. Number 9, Gators over the Kentucky Wildcats. Florida's ranked, so I picked them.
Yeah, Florida's got a really shitty quarterback, but they're a good team.
Yeah, and then 18, I got Oklahoma over UCLA. Oklahoma's ranked number 5, so I'm guessing they'll blow them out because that's how college
goes.
College goes. And then obviously at 19 points, I got the Bears over the Broncos because – we're the better blue and orange team, baby.
Bears.
But even obviously every week my top pick is going to be the homer pick of the Bears. But I genuinely do think they can do this. I think they stuttered the first week. I think Nagy probably whooped them into shape this week at practice. And it's like, yo, guys, we're going to win next week. This is not happening again. And
yeah.
they're
and,
such
and
a
I
good
think-
team that...
And I think Nagy is fully aware that the Chicago fandom and media will not let him live it down if he doesn't give the ball to his running backs more this week. So he's definitely going to do that, and I think it's going to work out well. I think David Montgomery is primed to have his Josh Jacobs breakout game where it's like, hey, this dude's great. We look at him. We saw him in the draft and look at him playing fucking great. I think Allen Robinson is going to continue to be like Mitch's like go-to guy, and I really hope that they continue to build that. And I really hope Mitch doesn't decide to throw a deep ball into double coverage that is obviously going to get picked off to ruin the game.
Yeah. But yeah, also, I mean, as you heard, because you had the game sound on at the bar when you're watching it. By the third or fourth fucking three and out that the Bears had, the crowd was pissed. Like,
yeah,
the Chicago crowds. Yeah, the Chicago crowd is not going to accept an 0-2 start after what they did last year. Like,
it's unacceptable to have a talented team, and that's really the thing. You know, not to totally reopen the whole Bears thing, but the Bears roster, when you look at it top to bottom, there's a couple question marks, but only a couple. The question marks are Mitch Trubisky is the quarterback, but he has flashed at times, so he's one of those guys where you're like, well, if he can just kind of play even keeled, that's a absolute solid, don't have to worry about it. And the only other question mark is the kicker. He made his one kick. Wasn't a long one, but he made the one kick. Outside of that, they've got one of the more talented rosters in the NFL. They've got really good depth. I mean, not necessarily depth, but they've got really good pieces on the offensive line. One of the most ferocious defensive units across the board in the entire NFL. And although they don't do that much compared to some other stats, Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, Taylor Gabriel are all very fine wide receivers. So it's like, okay, there's no glaring weak spots. This team should play well.
Yeah,
sure.
and you have Shaheen in there to also catch passes. You got Cordero.
Until he gets a concussion immediately.
Yeah. And then you got Tariq Cohen even coming out of the
backfield. Yeah, Tariq Cohen didn't get the ball a whole lot last week.
And even Montgomery caught a few passes last week. Like, the dude's an all-around
Montgomery,
back. He's a stud.
Montgomery's going to be really good. I think Montgomery, you know, I don't want to just hype him up way too hard because that would be irresponsible. But I think he's going to be the closest thing to Matt Forte since Matt Forte.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, so that's it for my picks for week 2. Hopefully,
what?
Hopefully Kevin will be 2-0 and I'll be 2-1 or 1-1 next week in fantasy. We'll see. But so I guess that's it for this week. Unless you got anything else?
Go Bears. I'm so glad football's back.
Please don't break my heart.
Please don't break my heart. Yeah, no, having Red Zone on, I mean, I don't always watch Red Zone because I do like flipping through the games myself and actually locking into them.
Actually being able to
watch
the drive.
But there is something very magical about when a bunch of games are coming to a close and then you just leave it on Red Zone and he's got all of them going or at least flipping back and forth quickly so you don't have to be like, I don't want to miss a single second of any of these games. That's always beautiful in the Sunday afternoons. So thank God football's back. I don't know how many of you are listening, but I appreciate you. Go Bears.
To the tens of you that are listening, thank you. But yeah, I think I'm going to throw this episode up on the Country Hodgepodge feed, the Hodgepodgecast feed, so people could get a listen if they like it. If you like this, hopefully come over, get us on Unbearable. We're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're on literally everything podcasts are on. So thank you for listening to our podcast. So until week 2 is over, I'm Steve Hodge. As always, you're McKevin Hodge saying goodbye.
Yeah.